ओम शांति। इन वन मोनेस्ट्री वंस देयर वर फोर डिसाइपल्स एंड दे डिसाइडेड टू डू 2 weeks साइलेंस रिट्रीट। दे डिसाइडेड to do 2 weeks complete silence retreat. So it was first day, and they sat in meditation in one room. Throughout the day they were silent. It's audible? Yeah? Okay, so throughout the day they were silent, and it was evening and then night. So one of them got the candle and lighted it. So the wind was blowing, and suddenly the gush of wind extinguished the candle. So all of a sudden the first disciple said, "Oh, the candle is blown out." The second disciple said, "You are not supposed to speak because we are having silence retreat. The rule is that you should not speak." The third disciple said, "You both spoke. Why did you speak?" The fourth one said, "I am the only one who has not spoken." The first one got affected by what's happening outside. The second was Paradarshan, Baba says, seeing others, listening to others. The third one suggests anger, because he is angry, because other two have spoken. The fourth one suggests ego, because he feels, "I am the only one here who has not spoken. But by doing this, he also spoke. And he also broke the rule." So sometimes how difficult it is to remain silent. And everyone knows the importance of silence, the language of silence, the language of the soundless sound. And yet sound pulls. And yet, the voice has an unusual attraction. Look at the nature, how silently everything is going on. A seed is sown silently. It is nurtured silently. It becomes a sapling, then plant, and then tree silently. And there is an eternal silence in the universe. And who begins his journey in spirituality must test the sound of silence, the sound of the soundless sound. The deeper the silence, the deeper would be the experience. The more superficial the silence, the more artificial and more superficial would be the experiences of spirituality. Mahatma Gandhi was in South Africa and he visited one monastery and he found there are a lot of sannyasins in that monastery, but everyone is under the vow of silence. He was amazed to see that and he went to the head of the monastery and asked him, what is the purpose of this silence vow? Why everybody is observing the oath, the pledge of silence? Because nobody speaks here. The head of the monastery said, look, young boy, we are frail human creatures. We are very weak. We have yet not understood what is life. We even don't know what to speak and what not to speak. And every time we speak, we have always spoken that which is unreal, that which is wrong. Is it not better that we don't speak and stay silent? So that's why in this monastery, the moment anybody enters, all the sannyasins, all the sadhaks, all the disciples, they have to take the vow of silence. Thereby, they preserve their energy. So this story had come in young India in 1910. The name of the monastery was Trappist Monasteries. And the author understood the importance of silence. In this universe, everywhere there is sound. There are two types of sounds. One is ahat sound, another is anhad sound. Ahat means by trauma, by friction. Whenever there is a friction, there is a sound. So that is known as ahat. Another is anhad. Anhad means without friction. Where two things are not striking each other, and yet there is sound. And that is the sound of the divine, which is always in the universe. And in the language of the scriptures, it is known as Om. They say this Om is the only sound that matches the sound of the soundless. Towards the start of this yajna, when Brahma Baba was there, he would do this tune of Om. And that's why people started calling this Om Mandali, gathering of Om. The earlier name of Brahma Kumaris was Om Mandali. Unless and until one go within and touch that chord of silence, probably you are far away from yourself. If you draw a circle, in the middle, there's a center, and that's what I am. But most of the time, I am living on the circumference, orbit. So that point is soul consciousness, and that circle is body consciousness. That point is the point of silence, while that circle is the line of words. Our journey is to move from orbit to the center. Our journey is to move from body consciousness to soul consciousness. All of you can write, draw a circle and keep a point in between. How far away from the point I am? We can make an arrow like that inside. This is a circle, this is a point, an arrow from circumference to the point. Most of the time, I live on the circumference. There are very few moments of my life where I am at the center. And the only worthy moments of my life are when I am at the center. Most of my activities are going on the surface, which I am not. But I show that I am that. But in fact, that is a pseudo-personality. The real me is at the center, which is soul consciousness, which is silence consciousness, which is spirit consciousness. And what is on the surface is the soil consciousness. What's on the surface is my masked appearance. I am wearing a mask. That's not real me. That is somebody else's. I am wearing it to show off to the world. But my real me is somewhere deep within myself. And the deeper I go within myself, I start hearing that sound. There was a Zen master and he told his disciple, go and listen the clapping of one hand. So he went. And he tried to clap, but always two hands are needed. So how to listen to the clap of one hand? So he tried to meditate, but he couldn't. Then suddenly he heard the rustling of the leaves in the garden. And he said, oh yes, this is the sound of one hand clap. So he rushed to his master and said, master, I have heard the sound of one hand clap. He said, what is it? He said, the air was rushing through the leaves and there was a sound. The master said, no, there were two things. One leaf, another air. So how can that is the sound of one hand clap? Go back and try again. The student went back again. And he tried to hear, but he couldn't. And then suddenly once he heard the sound of river, which was flowing by the monastery. He felt, yes, this is the sound of one hand clap. And he rushed to the master. And he said, yes, I have heard the sound of one hand clap. Master said, what is it? He said, the river was meandering river was flowing through rocks. But master said, again, there are two things here, air and water, or the rocks or the bed of the river. So how can this be the one hand clap? So the disciple went again. He could not understand what to do. He sat in meditation for a long time, closing his eyes. But this time he did not come back. For days he did not come back. Now the master came to him and said to him, now you have heard that voice of one hand clap. Because when you hear it, you don't even mention that you have heard it. When you hear silence, you don't have to see, tell, narrate others that I have experienced it. It is the state of stillness, wordlessness, voicelessness, soundlessness. You must have heard it, Murli, so many times it has come, the power of silence. They have physical powers and you have silence power. That is the power of science and you have the power of silence. And when you understand the power of silence, power of science is nothing in front of it. What miracles, what wonders you are doing and seeing with science, even greater wonders can be done with the power of silence. You sit at one place and you can talk with somebody who is far away from you. That is known as spiritual telepathy. You sit at one place and you see what is happening at a distant place somewhere. Clairvoyance, clairaudience. You sit at one place and you can hear things which are far away. This is known as paranormal psychology. So many things come in that. But what is the proof of it? The only proof of silence is practice it first. We can hear a number of lectures on silence, but we will not have even an iota of experience if we don't do it ourselves. Anybody has tried silence for one full day ever? 24 hours? Anyone? Not speaking a single word. There are two types of silence. One is of the mouth, another is of the mind. I am talking of mouth. Keeping mouth shut. Very few. Just try it. Not even sign language. And most of the time, it is not the observance, it is the result. Silence should come as a result of something which you are doing. It's not that I am trying to become silent. Let me be silent, let me not speak. The more I try this, the more I will find out ways to speak. Sometimes I'll write on the paper and show to somebody. Sometimes I'll type message. To enter into the field of non-verbal communication, NVC. So taste silence. For that, something go on deep within you. Some real transformation, some real transformatory things. Some revolutionary thought process. And suddenly on the surface, suddenly the circumference has become silent. When the center becomes silent. And you understand, you come to know that everything which was going on outside has suddenly changed. Things are same, persons are same, place is same, circumstances are same. But my response to everything has changed. Because now everything is coming out from silence. And silence doesn't mean just not to speak. Silence has got a very deeper connotation, deeper meanings. Not to speak is just one part of it. A person might be speaking and yet he is silent. Even this is possible. Because the words are coming from the center. What you are seeing on the circumference, they are emanating from the center. So when the words come from the depth of soundless silence, those words are very powerful. In Sanskrit there is saying, Gurustu Maunam Vyakhyanam Shishyastu Chinna Sanshaya. The Guru is sitting and lakhs of disciples are sitting in front of him. The Guru is not saying a single word. Maunam Vyakhyanam, Maun is silent. His lecture, his vyakhyan is of silence. But his silence is so powerful. Shishyastu chinna sanshaya. All the sanshay, all the doubts which are there in the minds of the disciple are getting dispelled just by his silence. Silence is that powerful. So to experience silence, to be center conscious, so spirit conscious, even while interacting with somebody, you are silent within. Even while one is talking, and yet words are arising from the very depth of silence. So they will have otherworldly attraction, a very deep influence on others. So, what we should do to achieve that soundless sound stage? You know, Brahma Baba, in his last 6 months, he had become so silent that when he would sit in meditation in Baba's, the hut which is there right now, there was a clock watch there, and it would make the noise of tick, tick, tick. Baba said, remove that. There's no need of that now. When you start relishing silence, you don't relish the world of sound. When you touch the chord of silence within, the outside world of noise, of din, of clamor, everything appears waste. Why am I wasting my time in speaking? And if one sees one full day what I have spoken, if everything gets recorded and we make a CD or cassette of it, we will find that 90% was unnecessary. Only 20%, only 10% or 20% was required words. Rest, whatever that is spoken, was in fact not necessary. So what one should do in order to achieve this stage of silence? Or what are the things that happen or that one should do in that silence? So there are about 10 different things each one of us must do. Whenever you enter into that stage of silence, or whenever you decide that I have to do my own retreat for 2 days or 1 day. So the first thing to be done in silence, or if you do these 10 things, silence would be the result. We are not aiming for silence, we are aiming for this. But these 10 things would in turn lead to external silence. Because these 10 things, you cannot become extrovert with these 10 things. So the first thing is self-discipline. The first is self-discipline. You take the thought, the resolve of having discipline in life, internal life. I'm not talking of outside. Outside discipline would be the reflection of inner discipline. There's a room and things are littered here and there. And when you look at it, you find it so shabby. If you want to search something, you have to keep on opening drawers. Where is the key? Where is the key? Because nothing is kept at proper place. Somewhere are the clothes, shoes are just thrown there. You open the cupboard and you find everything up and down. It's very difficult to find anything. So also is the inner world. Things are happening, we are throwing them inside. Some words are coming, they are going inside. Somebody is saying something, that is just thrown inside. So there is a hodgepodge. There's an inner clutter. So declutter the inner world. So the first thing is self-discipline. Decide that I have to discipline myself. This undisciplined life is not going to lead me anywhere. I have to stop and discipline myself. And the moment you take this decision, automatically words go away from you. Now you have to make some inner planning. So self-discipline leads to silence, or silence will in turn lead to self-discipline. There was a Lama who had written his autobiography. He said that when I was 4 years old, my father and mother sent me away to a distant monastery for learning. I was just 4 years old, and the night before I was about to depart, my father called me and said, "Tomorrow morning the bullock cart will come, and you have to sit in that early morning and go to the monastery. But take care that once you sit, you will not look back. You will not see back. Your mother would be there, she is crying, but you will not see back. If you see back, please don't enter back into our house again." So this was a child just of 4 or 5 years. And so hard thing he was told, and he felt how cruel my parents are. The next day morning, the bullock cart came. He sat in that bullock cart. His mother and father, mother was crying, and he was told not to look back even once. And he was trying hard not to look back, but with great discipline, he did not look back and went straight. He reached the monastery, and in the monastery at the gate, one of the monks stopped him and he said, "Look, child, there is a rule to enter this monastery. You have to stand here at the gate with closed eyes. No matter what happens, you should not open the eyes. Till the time I come to you and I tell you to open the eyes. But if you fail, if you open the eyes, probably you will have to go back. That is the rule." So that small child who reached early in the morning around 6 a.m. closed his eyes. After some time, the other students started coming and they started teasing him. Somebody started poking him, somebody snatched his bag, and somebody started throwing stones at him, or they were doing all sorts of mischiefs with him. But he was just standing like that with his closed eyes. He felt many times to open and see what is happening, but then he was instructed not to open the eyes. And it was 10 a.m. and then 12 noon. He is hungry. He has not eaten anything, not drunk anything since morning, and the scorching heat of the sun, and he was closing the eyes, and other students were coming somewhere, someone was throwing mud or dust at him or doing something with him, but he was just standing like that in that scorching heat of the sun. And the master came at last and said, "My son, you have passed. Now you can get entry in this school And this Lama wrote in his autobiography that, "I thought how cruel my parents are and how cruel this master is. But now I understood they were the most compassionate beings because they taught me discipline. They taught me the importance of discipline in my life. The harsh training that they gave me was blessing in disguise. Because throughout my life, I had many such events and in my life where I had to undergo such hard things that the training imparted by my parents and my teacher helped me in my life. So, those who learn to walk on the path of thorns. For them, whether it is rose path or thorn path in future, that hardly matters. So the first thing is self-discipline. I had to gather myself, declutter the inner room of subconscious mind. The second thing to do in silence is self-analysis. Let me analyze myself. If I have fallen down, what is the cause of the fall? If suddenly I got disturbed, what is the cause of that disturbance? If suddenly there is a turbulence, what is the cause of that turbulence? If suddenly something, some news I hear, somebody is sick, somebody has died, and my inner world is shaken, what is the cause of that? Somebody comes, he doesn't fulfill my expectation, I become unhappy in Brahmin life. What is the cause? I went to Madhuban for doing tapasya. The moment I reached, there is a fight with the person who stays in my room. And all tapasya is gone. The moment I reach Madhuban, I was not given proper room. I thought of doing tapasya in Madhuban, but looking at the room, I got disturbed. Or I was given a room and then later on told, now change. We have seen double foreigners, they come in Gyan Sarovar and suddenly when they are told, now you all have to go to Shantivan, they are so unhappy. Everybody is, except few, get disturbed. So these are the moments of self-analysis. What thing disrupts my peace? Somebody throws a stone and there are ripples. And their ripples are for a very long time. Now it depends. Thrones would be stone, but how fast the ripples disappear? That will be the test of spirituality. I am well right now. Suddenly I am diagnosed with some incurable cancer. Doctors say there is a swelling. I went and I underwent a series of investigations and it is revealed that cancer and it has already reached the last stage and it has spread all over the body and I have only few months with me. And then there are thoughts of, oh, I have to do so much service. And everything is disturbed. Self-analysis. Why this happened? We are not saying it is right or wrong, it's true or untrue, it should have happened, it should not have happened. It's not like that. Just analyzing. This is the result. Sorrow is the result of my reaction. So definitely something has gone wrong. If this is the result, if this is the end, the means must have been wrong. So the second thing to do every day in silence is self-analysis. The third thing to do, self-remembering. Most of the time we are in the forgetful stage. Baba gives us so many self-respects. You are this, you are that, you are this, you are that. You are the chosen deity of the devotees. You are the destroyer of obstacle. You are the master, almighty authority. You are the remover of sorrow. So many things Baba says in every Avyakta Murli. But to what extent I remember all those self-respect and to what extent I remember myself? Most of the time I am in the stage of forgetfulness, oblivion. Self-remembering. Remind yourself who you are. Keep on reminding yourself who I am, what I am, what I am, who I am. Am I just this set of thoughts? Am I this body? Am I this small set of relationships? Sometimes somebody calls me mother, somebody calls me sister, somebody calls me daughter, somebody calls me daughter-in-law, somebody calls me grandmother. Is this what I am? Or there is some higher dimension to me? So, self-remembering. Keep on reminding yourself, yes, I am this. I should not forget. My task is world transformation. I should not remain restricted to small things, small place, small thoughts. Let me rise above. And then, fourth, self-talk. Spend some time every day talking with yourself. Go in nature. Go near the proximity of nature, five elements. Sit in some silence and talk with yourself. There's one brother in Madhuban. On his mirror, he has written, "Oh," his name, "you fool, what are you doing?" He wrote for himself, "Oh," his name, "you fool, what are you doing here? What have you come for to Madhuban and what are you doing?" He wrote in front of his own name, he wrote like that. It is a self-talk. Spend some time talking with yourself. We have talked a lot with others for so many births, so many ages. We have been talking when we were in golden age and silver age, we were talking with deities. When we were in copper age and iron age, we were talking with human beings. Now it is the time to talk with self. So self-talk and talking with God, both things are included here. Talk with yourself and talk with Baba. Ask him, share with him. Let him know what is the state of your mind. Tell him that, "Baba, today this has happened and that is what not make that is making me restless." Sharing with Baba everything, whatever there is in your heart, your mind. Becoming transparent. Self-talk. And then, self-mastery. Fifth is self-mastery, mastering the senses. That small child who was standing there at the gate, he learned the art of self-mastery. Others were teasing him. There was a heat, but he did not open the eyes. He felt the temptation so many times to open and see what is happening outside, but he didn't do. That is how you master the senses. Because the senses have a tendency to run outside, to become wayward. And to silence the senses is a great task. There was a sannyasin who was meditating in the forest, and suddenly one day he felt the desire to eat some sweets. He was meditating and a sudden very strong pull he had that "I want to eat some sweet." So he was in the jungle and the sweets were in the city. So he came all the way. He took some sweets. I went back to the jungle, sat in meditation and then opened the eyes and talked with himself. "Oh my mind, this is the sweet. Do you want?" And then threw that. What are you going to achieve? Even if you get this transient happiness, some tickling of the tongue, some senses, that's it. This is just an instance of self-mastery. Self-mastery means you will see what you are supposed to see. You will hear what you are supposed to hear. You will taste or eat what you want to eat. If you can control your tongue, 90% of the other senses would come into your control automatically. If you cannot control the tongue, other senses will go uncontrolled. It's impossible. The greatest mastery is the mastery of taste. The sensual organs and the taste are linked with each other. One is rasendriya, another is janendriya. They are very much connected with each other. So control of one, rasendriya is tongue, leads to the control of sensual organs automatically. So this is known as self-mastery. To master your own body. We have been following the orders of the body. Now it is the time to order the body. Do this. Listen to this. See this. Speak this. Eat this. Touch this. There is a tendency to touch. Touch the body. But to stop it, to control it, to master the senses, is the thing one should do in silence, or when you do self-mastery, automatically silence takes place on this orbit. And then self-inspiration. The next is self-inspiration. Sixth, inspire yourself. Nobody is going to come to you and tell you do this, do that. Don't wait for somebody to come and instruct me. Nobody is going to come. Nobody is going to teach me. I have to teach myself. I have to uplift myself. I have to take care of myself. If my stage has fallen down, let me do something and elevate myself. Nobody is going to come. Are you going to wait for some retreat to take place? Make your own retreat. Every day is a retreat. Resolve that this is the day of my retreat and I want to do certain unfulfilled tasks in silence. There are so many things which are unfulfilled, undone, yet in life. There are so many emotions which are lurking in the dark and we are not even aware of them. There is a fear, there is some phobia which is deep in the subconscious mind. And even we are not aware of what is that fear, but it is an unknown fear. The fear of the unknown, the fear of the future, the fear of persons, the fear of events. If this happens then, if the near and dear ones fall sick then, if somebody dies then, if I become bankrupt, all the six thinking hat situations we saw in the morning. If suddenly that happens, then what? Am I prepared for everything? I'll give you one situation. If Baba comes here right now, and he tells, I have come to take all of you, how many of you are ready? What you will do? How many of you will raise the hand? Baba, I am ready. Only that much. Rest, they want to make a call at home, send a message that please take care of the money, the bank, the house. We are just about to leave. There's no time even to send any message, any WhatsApp, any call. Baba says, I have come to take you now. Come with me. Claps my hand and come. Baba says, you will say, no, just wait. 2 minutes. I want to make an urgent call at home and give instructions. Do this, do that, keep this there, keep that there. This is the password of laptop. This is the mail ID and the password. Let me just settle. Our preparation should be such that if Baba comes now and he says, come with me, you must say, I'm ready, Baba. Let's go. I don't have to settle anything. Everything is settled. Let the dead take care of the dead. In Bible it is said, Jesus Christ comes and he's choosing his disciple. And there is one Peter. He looks at Peter and says, come on, follow me. Peter says, Lord, I'll come with you, but my father has died. Let me go and do last funeral rites. He says, no need. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead means the dead people. Worldly people are already dead. Let them bury the dead. You come and follow me. You need not to go anywhere now because I have chosen you. This is how he has selected his 12 disciples. Somewhere he is going and is looking at someone and saying to one of his disciples, "Do you know me?" He says, "No, I don't know you. Have you seen me before?" "No, I have not seen you." Remember, once you were sitting near the fig tree, what you saw? And that disciple remembers there was a fig tree and there was a light. And the same light is in front of me. And he says, "Yes, I have seen you. Then follow me." And he follows him. There's a crowd and there are many people there. And Jesus is selecting his disciple. One person comes. "Should I come with you?" Jesus looks at him. "No, you are not the one. You come." And there's a very dramatic statement in Bible. Jesus says to his disciple, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. I have picked you up from this world, for you do not belong to this world. You belong to me and for my work." Baba also says, "I have picked you up from this world. You have not chosen me, or you have chosen him. You did not know how to choose him. He has chosen you." Somewhere in some village, only one person has come out and become Baba's child. Because he is the chosen one, he is the selected one, and he is the elected one. God selected, God chosen, God elected. We are. Every one of us. "I picked you up from this world, for you do not belong to this world." Self-inspiration we were talking about. Let anything happen in life. If I fall down, gather up courage and rise up again and start walking. Inspire yourself, motivate yourself. Self-inspiration and self-motivation is a task to be done in silence. And then, dreams. Swapna. In Hindi we call it swapna. Or in Sanskrit, as swapna means dream. Go in silence and dream of things. Dream with open eyes, not with closed eyes. Dream means to visualize. Visualize that you have already become an angel. This is the body, a body of light, and I am this angel. I am walking around as if a point of light, shedding light around. I am a point of light, brotherhood, vision of brotherhood, today morning, Smurli. Even if you are brother and sister, there would be a pull and attraction of bodies. But if when you are in that stage of angel, angel is neither male nor female. I am a point of light, a sparkling light, moving across, spreading light everywhere, and I see everybody as being of light. So dream, visualize. See yourself again and again as angel. The power of visualization. One of the presidents of America, George Washington, he was a small child. He did not have money. Even to go in school, he used to work as a attendant in the school. His job was to play the bell in between the two periods in school. So he would do like this, turn, turn, turn. But whilst doing this, what he would say to himself, you know, "I, George Washington, would become president of America one day. Turn, turn, turn. I, George Washington, would become president of America. Turn, turn, turn." He's a small child. He doesn't have money even to learn in school. But he has set up a huge aim, a target, a goal. And he is seeing that goal, that aim, that target every day, that picture, and filling it with colors, with animation, visualizing, colorization, picturization. And one day he became the president of America, which was almost impossible, the way he had his journey in life. So self-inspiration. dreaming, swapnam. S is swapna. And then next, solitude. Solitude means there are two meanings of ekant. One meaning is you are at a place where there is nobody. Not even the voice by any human being. You prefer to be in an isolated place. There is the importance of gathering, of course, but in between one must go in solitude. So in silence, you taste solitude. And when you happen to stay in solitude for some time, then you don't want to talk with anyone. There was one German mystic, Eckhart. Once he was sitting all alone in jungle, near one tree. Two of his friends were walking by. And they saw, they say, Eckhart is sitting alone. Let's go and give him company. And they say, we saw that you are alone and we have come to give you company. He says, I was enjoying the company of the Supreme. You came and now I have become alone. By your coming. So there are two words. One is loneliness. Another is solitude. Akelapan and ekant. What is the difference? One is loneliness. Another is solitude. What is the difference? Anyone? Loneliness. He is lonely and he is in solitude. What is the difference? Loneliness is a stage of sorrow. Solitude is the stage of bliss. Loneliness has come upon you. Solitude you have chosen. You have chosen to be in solitude. I don't want to talk with anybody or come in contact for some time. Like every day in the morning, stay in solitude till 8 a.m. No need to, or before the Murli. No need to talk, no need to come in contact with anybody. Just stay within yourself. Self-thought, self-contemplation, self-analysis, self-remembering, everything like that. So, swapna. And then self-churning. Churning, as I said in the morning, what you have to do in silence is self-churning. Take any point of knowledge from Murli and take up and read about it. This is the pilgrimage of remembrance. This is what Baba said here. Now keep it aside. Think what all things we do in pilgrimage. If suppose there's a Buddhist monk and he wants to go on pilgrimage. So what are the preparations he does? What are the things he does? After reaching the pilgrimage place, what he does? What is the state of his mind? How he prepares himself? Who are the people who are accompanying him on pilgrimage? So these are the things. First gross and now think of the subtle. This is the pilgrimage of remembrance. Baba said this is a journey of travel of remembrance. What are my preparations? Who is accompanying me? What are the luggage I am carrying? Everything. Just try to compare. What's in the world and what's in the spiritual. So, self-churning. And then, self-training. One I said was spiritual discipline, self-discipline. Now I am talking about self-training. In silence, train yourself new habits. Training of getting habituated to new habits of knowledge. Recently in Madhuban, we had a workshop on 21 new habits of knowledge. So about 3 persons gave a talk on this topic. And what were the different points? I'll tell few points. One of the point was, throughout the day, talking with Baba in between. Throughout the day, calling Baba. Throughout the day, telling Baba thank you in between many times. These were some of the habits, new habits of Gyan. So this is self-training is needed for this. Without training, such things will not come. Doing yoga 5 minutes more. Suppose the yoga stops at 7:30, wait for 5 more minutes. Train the mind. Don't go immediately. Train the mind. Eating less is a training. Because mind wants to eat too much. One American president had said a very beautiful thing about food. He said, we never repent for having eaten less. Or do we? Do you feel, oh, why the breakfast I did not eat more? We always repent for eating more. We never repent for eating less. So this is a new habit. So the mind needs some training. Some habits are needed. New habits of knowledge. So these are the 10 S to be done in silence, in the inner cave of the heart. And when you sit there and do all this, automatically you move from periphery to the center and you start listening the soundless sound. So what are they? The first I told was self-discipline. The second was self-analysis. Everything has to do with self. There's nothing which is to be do with others. I don't have to discipline others. I don't have to tell others, do this, do that. I don't have to tell others, see, Baba has said a beautiful thing for you. This is specially for you. We always say this. This point, no, this is for you. Because you always do this, no? So this, Baba remembered you today. But we never say, this is for me. We are always so generous in telling others their faults. So, self-discipline, self-analysis, self-remembering, self-talk, self-mastery, self-inspiration, solitude, swapna. Swapna means dreams, visualization. And then self-churning, and last 10th, self-training, churning and training. So these are the 10 things to be done in silence. And we have ample of silence here. So even whilst moving out in this campus or doing everything, feel that everything is coming from the center rather than the periphery. Though we are speaking, yet let the silence speak. Let the words come out from the depth of soundless sound. So now we will have yoga. Sister Kim will instruct you about the meditation, how to enter into that stage of soundless sound. So, sister, please, she has some novel way of conducting today evening yoga. So she will guide you about that. Om Shanti.